Talofa lava, kia ora ana, mā loa lelei, pakalofa lahi atu, bulavinaka, taloha ni. Welcome to AA Meeting on Air, Planet FM 104.6. Warm Pacific greetings to our listeners who have tuned in this morning. My name is Amber and I'm an alcoholic, and I'll be your chairperson this morning. Please will you help me open this meeting with a serenity prayer.
God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will now read from the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. Before we start with our sharing, we'll read from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is a text used to help alcoholics recover from alcoholism and live without alcohol in their lives. From the doctor's opinion, men and women drink essentially because they like the effect produced by alcohol. The sensation is so elusive that, while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after a time differentiate the true from the false. To them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. They are restless, irritable and discontented, unless they can again experience the sense of comfort, which comes at once by taking a few drinks. Drinks which they see others taking with impunity. After they have succumbed to the desire again, as so many do, and the phenomenon of craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful with a firm resolution not to drink again. This is repeated over and over, and unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his or her recovery. Dr. William D. Silkworth. Kia ora, Roddy, would you like to share?
Thank you, Amber. Hi, everyone. My name is Roddy and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Roddy.
Hey, Roddy.
I drank for 19 years, and the last 49 of those years I also used narcotics, which were pills, acid and marijuana. For me, when I first had my first taste of alcohol, it made me feel different. Oh, what I mean by that, it made me feel giddy. I didn't like the taste initially when I first tasted alcohol, and but it gave me a sense of feeling different. Anyway, unbeknownst to me, that would set off a chain of events that I would start thinking of how I was going to get that liquid. And every time when I had the opportunity to get the liquid, it kind of like made me feel at ease with everything around me. However, that after a period of time, I started getting myself into situations and circumstances that would eventually I would have to suffer the consequences of those things, which was basically one of them was that I went to prison and for some of the actions and behaviours that I had done, which was basically being a liar, cheat and a thief. And then on the day of September in 1998, I arrived to a rehabilitation centre after my little baby sister asked the judge at the time if there was a place for her big brother to go and do something about his alcohol and drug problem. So for me, I was introduced to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous via a rehabilitation centre, and that helped me keep me away from society, basically my neighbourhoods really, where I wouldn't be tempted to take the first drink or drug in my case. That was where I started to find the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and then I heard people talk about how powerless they were over the alcohol and how that had made their lives unmanageable. So for me, I arrived into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous because my life was unmanageable, and not knowing what was the deep core issue about that stuff. Really, what it's about is that that I had never been able to take one drink and stop, and then when that happened, I would get really agitated towards the end of my drinking, and then yeah, wound up here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they have a program of which will help folks like myself and my friends here. And through listening to these people here, I was able to find out what I suffer from, which is the disease called alcoholism. Now, that affects myself and my head. And what I mean about that is my perception of life and everything around me is distorted to the max. And then, and that can still be the same problem today. And but I have some tools that will help me help manage that stuff, which is basically our 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I'm able to apply this 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous, which says that I'm screwed, the first one, and then I need to find something that's the first step. And then I need to find something that's outside myself that can help me, which is I've got to find something greater than myself that can help me get my head back into order. And then I've got to give my life over to this something that will help me. And I've got to thank Alcoholics Anonymous for that, and because it's opened up a lot of things that I never thought were possible, like the rewards of this journey of recovery. I was fortunate to have a wealth of friends that have helped me tell it to me bluntly that I'm screwed and I'll never be fixed unless I do something about what I suffer from. Sometimes I don't like to hear that stuff, but it's the truth, and sometimes that truth is not what I want to hear. So fortunately for me, it's been a journey from, as a friend, good friend of mine says, from sadness to gladness, and that's helped me immensely. If you're a person that has a problem with drinking, I encourage you to seek out places that may help you. And then fortunately for me, that's what's happened for me. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Roddy. Kia ora, Rose, would you like to share with us?
Kia ora, my name's Rose and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Rose.
Thank you for your sharing, Roddy. I was just thinking that, you know, like, if you have a problem with alcohol, my problem was that I didn't think I had a problem with alcohol, you know? This is my second time around in the fellowship, and the first time I came in and I didn't really think I had a problem or it wasn't that bad or, I'd kind of live my life thinking, look, if you had a childhood like mine, you would drink like I did. And I honestly believed that alcohol helped me survive my childhood. I had a couple of experiences today where You know, I was talking with some people who, you know, you could see that they were in that sort of boat. They didn't think it was the alcohol that was causing the carnage in their lives. And I could so relate. When I first came in, I heard about these 12 steps and, you know, I heard it was the first drink that, you know, we couldn't have and that got you drunk, and it just didn't make any sense to me. And I know I sort of went out and I thought, oh, no, I'll show these people. And, you know, it took about 4 years, 4 years of managing my drinking, taking the information I had, and then I'd got from Alcoholics Anonymous, believing that I wasn't like you guys. Took about 4 years before I ended up in a place where I could no longer say alcohol was not a problem. And, you know, for me, it took sitting on death's door for me to look around and pretty much come to terms with the fact that it might just be the alcohol. And for me, my saving grace was that I knew where I could go. I knew where I could go, where there was a bunch of people who said they had a problem with alcohol and they'd learnt how to do things differently. And I remember, and I reached out to a woman in the fellowship, and she took me to my first meeting, and that's where I got to learn about the 12 steps, the big book, and I got to fellowship with other people and talk with other people pretty much and listen and share about how they journeyed along in recovery. I know, you know, the reading, Amber, was that phenomenon of craving. You know, I didn't quite understand it as a phenomenon of craving, but I knew that rat race of, you know, being hungover in the morning and thinking I'm never going to drink again, getting myself to work, and then, I don't know, once the headache was kind of subsiding and I'd had, you know, about 20 coffees, then, you know, it started to be after lunchtime and then it was about 3 o'clock. And then my head just started thinking about, right, work's finishing soon, great. And my head would start planning, you know, how much wine do I have left in the fridge at home? Do I need to pick some up on the way home? And then I'd have that argument in my head, oh, well, I'll just have one bottle tonight. And most probably end up with two, or having to do what I used to call a pub run. And then, you know, waking up in the morning, starting all over again. And it says there in that reading, you know, it describes it differently in a different language. You know, what amazed me about this program, once I came in and I sobered up physically from alcohol, you know, and that language I got to know, and the jargon, that was a phenomenon of craving. That I would be craving that alcohol, craving that high. I grew up in a home where alcohol was, it was ever present. My father was a heavy drinker, you know, and I say that now because I've come to know that no one else, this is a self-diagnosis program, eh? This is a self-diagnosis disease. And no one could tell me I was an alcoholic. I had to come to that myself. And like I said, it took this alcoholic to get to death's door. I ended up in an intensive outpatient program, and I educated myself about drinking and drugs and what the effects that had on the brain. But what I didn't plan on was that phenomenon of craving coming back, you know. And I kept coming to Alcoholics Anonymous because while I may be recovered from that phenomenon, to stay recovered, I need to remain in recovery, and I need to remain by like-minded people. like I said, my father was a heavy drinker, and I have family in whānau who drink heavily, like my father. And, you know, for me, whenever I tried to give up drinking on my own, I remember whānau saying, "Oh, so how long has it been since you've had a drink?" And I say, "Oh, about a month." And they'd be like, "Oh, good on you. You know, would you like a drink? Let's celebrate." You know, and that's just what an alcoholic wants to hear, is that you're okay, you can have a drink, you can have just one. And I don't blame my family for that. For me, that's just a lack of awareness. And this is my journey. And I work a program on a daily basis. I'm not perfect, but for me, that's what my friends in whānau and the fellowship are. They come in and they help me out when I'm not perfect, and they help smooth out my edges, and they sit with me if I'm slightly going a little bit mad. And because what I used to do in those situations is that I used to pick up a drink, and then I'd be like, everything is okay, the world is right again. But then that phenomenon of craving would kick back in, and I'd want another one and another one. Anyway, I'm a grateful member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and today it's about carrying the message to people who think they might have a problem with alcohol, and if they want to do something about it, I sit here and I carry my message that it helped this alcoholic recover, and has helped it stay recovered just by doing a few suggested things, which is I go to meetings, I engage the help of a sponsor who was happy to talk to me one-on-one about the 12 steps that Roddy has just shared, and do a couple of daily maintenance prayers and meditation. That's for me anyway, but I'll leave it there, and thank you for asking me to share. Kia ora.
Thank you very much, Rose.
Thanks, Rose.
Talofa, Chris, would you like to share?
Talofa, love. My name's Chris. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, good to be here and amongst my friends, and I always love to hear them share, you know, that's how we stay clean and sober today, you know, by sharing our experiences. You know, my drinking story is just like any other alcoholic's drinking story. You know, it was a nightmare. I come in here in 2002. My experience of Alcoholics Anonymous, when I arrived in 2002, you know, I didn't fit. You know, I was the only Samoan guy in the meeting. You know, I kind of thought, oh, maybe I'm not an alcoholic. Never seen any of these fellas in the garage. You know, that's where my head took me, you know. But, I was an alcoholic, you know, from day dot, you know, probably even prior to picking up a drink. my father was, he immigrated here in the 60s. And, you know, he was a very violent and angry alcoholic, you know, and, you know, but still even when I was young, I never thought he was an alcoholic. I just thought he was violent and angry, you know, and, you know, I didn't really kind of look at maybe the drink might have a bit to do with it, you know. I just thought that, I just thought that, you know, that's how my dad was, you know, and, you know, today, you know, I know my father was an alcoholic. You know, like he suffered from that allergy that Rose was talking about, you know, which I understand, which I've only just, you know, I understand because someone else, you know, pointed out in the big book, you know, the doctor's opinion, you know, like it happened to me all the time, that first drink, you know. you know, like prior to coming into Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought it was the two boxes, the bottle of bourbon, the 20 joints, and, you know, and a bit of speed that made me an alcoholic. But, you know, it was the way I reacted after that first drink. The first would ask for the second would insist on the third would demand the fourth, you know, and who knows what happened then after that, you know, and, you know, I do what every alcohol, you know, when I got drunk, you know, I'd black out. So, you know, waking up next morning and kind of praying to myself that I didn't really cause too much trouble or stuff like that, you know, that stuff happened to me all the time, you know, and I didn't really understand what a blackout was, you know. The blackout is the lights are on and no one's home, you know, and you know, and I drank, and that's a very scary thing. I drank like that for over 20 years, you know, my, and thinking it was okay, you know, like, oh, well, I won't do it next week, you know. And like what Rose was talking about and Roddy's talked about is that, yeah, that shame and guilt and all of that stuff would be there until about Tuesday afternoon, you know, and then the thought would be, ah, I'm getting paid on Thursday and I'll make everything right, you know, and, you know, I'll make everything right, and on Thursday would come, and then all the guys I pissed off from last week, you know, I'd go around and buy them a beer, and, you know, we'd be all buddies again, and, you know, and then that whole nightmare would start, you know, and, you know, by 12 o'clock I'm going, can I borrow some money off you, you know, and I'll pay you back next week, and if he said no, you know, it'd cause a drama, you know, because the difference between me and a lot of drinkers, those guys, was that they'd all want to go home. But, you know, I couldn't, you know, I wanted to go out. I was the guy in the car park that was trying to encourage anyone, and even lie to them and say, oh, there's a party down the road, you know, hoping that they would jump in the car and, you know, head off to this imaginary party and, you know, really all I'd be doing is directing them into town. You know, that's how it was for me, you know, like I just couldn't stop drinking, you know. And, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, a lot of people, they talk about being a daily drinker or a binge drinker, you know. I don't even relate to that kind of drinking. I was a run-out-of-money drinker. The only time I didn't drink was when I had no money or when you had no money, you know. And that's how it was for me, you know. I was a leech, you know. And, you know, and just some of the stuff I used to do, you know, like, in their doctor's opinion, it talks about the mental obsession, you know, and you know, like, a lot of my criminal behaviours was due to me wanting to be at some party or some function, and if I had no money, because most of the time I didn't work, you know, I'd have to, and if I had no money and the obsession was that great that I had to be at this place so that I can get on the piss, you know, nothing stopped me. You know, if that meant I had to jump into your house and steal your radio, or back in my days, the video, or, you know, whatever, you know, I'd do it, you know. And it wasn't to kind of benefit my family, who was, you know, from a poor, you know, my parents were poor, my dad was alcoholic, and, you know, it wasn't to benefit my mum to help, you know, to help my mum bring us up, you know, it was all self-centeredness. It was all about me getting that money so that I can go into a wholesales, buy as much piss as I could to go to this party, you know, and it was like that for years, you know, and it's, you know, I'm just really grateful that I don't have to live like that no more. You know, my dad actually died an alcoholic. You know, he died a drinking alcoholic, you know, and you know, like, you know, my dream when I was a kid was not to be like my father, you know, and, you know, I was like my dad most of my life, but today I'm not, you know, and so my dreams come true, you know. Today I don't, you know, I don't care if you're an alcoholic, you know, all I kind of really worry about today is how I'm working a program, how my friends are doing, you know, like, today I have friends, you know, like, us four people, you know, like, we see each other quite a lot, you know, and that's our little realm, you know, that, you know, I need their support to stay sober, you know, and, you know, like, you know, they are my extended family, you know, like, you get taught in here, you know, like, if they reach out, I'm there, you know, and it's just so good to be there for, you know, other people other than myself, you know, and, you know, like, putting down the drink was good, you know, and but there's a saying in AA, you know, you get the monkey off your back, you got to deal with the circus in your head, you know, and that's what I've been trying to work out, you know, like, I'm not trying to work it out. The cool thing is I don't need to work this out on my own, you know. I have a power greater than myself, you know, which I call God, you know, and today I know I'm not alone, and Roddy touched on it as well, you know, for me to be here sitting in the seat, you know, like, I have to be honest, you know, and I talk to my friend Amber and Rose, and they all know how it is for me, you know, like, you know, when I'm lying, I'm dying, you know, and it's just so good to turn that leaf, you know, and you know, like, today I see myself for who I really am, you know, and I kind of quite like them, you know, and that's so cool, you know, all I know is that I had 30 odd years of not being able to stop drinking, you know, I was really, really hopeless, you know, but there's another word for that, but, you know, like, but yeah, you know, like, but things are different today, you know, like, today I'm responsible, you know, and, you know, my life's good. Alcoholics Anonymous has changed my life, you know, and today it's just really good to be with people that I trust, you know, and I love, you know, and, you know, all of that stuff I've learnt in these rooms. And so, you know, if you're really struggling with drinking, you know, get on that phone, man, and reach out. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Chris. Hi, everyone. My name's Amber, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Amber.
And I'm just so grateful for the sharing today. Thank you, everyone. And I just wanted to say a few words myself and, you know, and just, you know, say how lucky I am and how grateful I am to, you know, be a part of this fellowship and to, you know, have the gift of the truth given to me by people that are trying their hardest to stay sober for a day at a time and to live a decent life amongst each other and in our communities. You know, and for me, you know, I've learned everything that I've needed to know to go back out to my family and be the person that I need to be from these people in Alcoholics Anonymous. And my life is richer and safer, and I know I'm going to be all right because, yeah, I get to have meaningful friendships based on honesty and trust. And I learned to have those relationships through, you know, coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, putting down the drink and for one day at a time and attempting to live a spiritual program. And, yeah, I'd just like to thank everyone that came today and that shared with me. I feel very happy and peaceful, and I know we're all going to be we're all going to be all right if we keep doing this and keep walking this journey together. So thanks again, everyone.
Thanks, Amber.
This brings us toward the end of our meeting. Me taki, whawhetai te le lava, malo au pito, and ngā mihi aroha to our AA friends and whānau for their willingness to share their stories with you, our listeners. We truly hope that our message of recovery can help the still-suffering alcoholic amongst our friends, family, and within our communities. If you have a problem with alcohol and want help, you can phone 0800 AA Works, 0800 229 6757. And you'll be put in contact with an AA member in your local area. That concludes our sharing this morning. AA Meeting On Air will be here again next Sunday at 10:45. Would you please help me close this meeting with the Serenity Prayer? God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
There are over 100 AA meetings each week in the Greater Auckland area. For more information, log on to aa.org.nz. You can hear this program again on planetaudio.org.nz/AA meeting on air. Thank you to our listeners, and tune in again to Planet FM 104.6.